Welcome to More Life, the Reentry Podcast, where we explore the transformative journey of reentry after incarceration. I'm your host, Venkivia Gardner. Each week, we bring you powerful interviews with experts in the field and the voices of those who have lived through the experience. Our mission is to bridge the gap between scholarly insights and personal stories by shedding light on the challenges and triumphs faced by formerly incarcerated individuals. We explore the latest research, policies, and practices while also hearing firsthand accounts from those who've been impacted. Join us as we uncover the realities of reentry, challenge misconceptions, and inspire hope. Whether you're a professional working in the legal system, a family member, an advocate, or someone navigating reentry yourself, More Life the Reentry Podcast is here to inform, inspire, and ignite change. Hi, welcome back to another episode of More Life, the Reentry Podcast. I hope you all have been tuning in with us the past couple of weeks. If you haven't, please go back and listen to our episodes. We're covering a great topic right now about entrepreneurship after incarceration. And over the past few weeks, we've really been talking about what is entrepreneurship, what it takes to be an entrepreneur, and how can we sculpt ourselves to be entrepreneurs after incarceration. Over the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're actually going to talk to individuals that are formerly incarcerated entrepreneurs that are actually doing it. And in hopes that we can inspire others who may be feeling hopeless or not knowing what to do next and can see that entrepreneurship can be an opportunity for them. And through the stories of the individuals that we'll be talking to over the next couple of weeks, you'll be able to see how they've paved a way for themselves to create independence, stability, and empower themselves and still contribute to the communities that they belong to. So make sure you keep tuning in and coming back every week so you can hear these amazing stories. And today, who we have with us is Mr. Wayne Lane. And Mr. Wayne is a CDL instructor and a mentor with a powerful story of transformation. He returned home in 2002, where he earned his CDL and built a career in trucking and sanitation. And today, he specializes in preparing justice-involved individuals for a career in commercial driving, helping them rebuild their lives through training, mentorship, and opportunity. So, Mr. Wayne, I am so grateful to have you on today, and thank you for coming.
And I'm honored to be here. And I just so grateful for this opportunity to share my story with yourself and the podcast listeners. So, I want to get right to it. And, I've been excited about this all week. And it's been a journey on my behalf. And I'm just glad and happy to be able to share this.
Yeah. So if you're someone who is formerly incarcerated, I highly encourage you to tune into this conversation. Stay tuned, stay with us, because we are about to go through a powerful story of transformation. So thank you, Mr. Wayne. And to jump right into our conversation, can you share with us a little bit about your journey and what led you to entrepreneurship after incarceration?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that question. I kind of chose a different path to entrepreneurship. As you stated, I am formerly incarcerated. I got first incarcerated in Texas to Texas Department of Correction, where I did a 4-year sentence. And from there, after being released, after 8 months being released, I got incarcerated in Louisiana, to the notorious Angola, Louisiana, to where I served 18 years. And as you mentioned, I came home in 2002. And as soon as me coming home, I was able to obtain my CDL, just navigating, just trying to find all the resources to help me get my CDL training. I wasn't prepared for society. So I had to kind of do everything on the run. And after obtaining my CDL, just being in the working industry for the past 20 years, an opportunity came to where I could teach. And it was just so ironic. When I took the CDL training, I said then, and not even thinking to where I would be now, but I said, I could do this here. I can stand up here and teach. And this is after 18 years of incarceration. in probably one of the most bloodiest prisons in America. And me not being from Louisiana, I had a tough path, just not only trying to maintain my sanity, but just even coming home to a new environment in a new city, Boston, Mass. My home is California, Merced, California, and like I said, by way of Texas and then Louisiana through incarceration.
So when you left Angola in 2002, right?
Yes.
How did you come upon CDL? Was that always the plan, or how did that come about?
No, ma'am. So I didn't really have a plan. And what I mean by that, Angola was an environment to where it was more about survival than opposed to educating yourself while there. And just the programs they had in place didn't benefit me. So I was in a lot of negativity inside Louisiana State Prison. So coming home at the spur of the moment, you know, I went from Boston to California once on a truck with my uncle. And I said, that's something I would mind doing. And just coming home and doing my little research and understanding that once getting your CDL, it was Corey friendly. And being that I had a damaging background, I felt like this is my best option to not only gain good employment, but also see the United States as well.
So CDL then became the opportunity for you. And you built Switching Lanes with Wayne.
And I built Switching Lanes with Wayne, which I just started. And I'm just so grateful for the First Step Alliance. I seen something through an email thread, and they all offered involvement on entrepreneurship. And I had, you know, I always wanted to have my own business, but I just felt like that I was never qualified. And I think the system kind of had my mindset to that. Just feeling that I had to come home and do as I was told, as I'd done in prison. And I just didn't understand the resources that were afforded to myself and just how to move forward other than working as I did in Angola. You know, I picked cotton for over 15 years. I had an 18-year sentence, but 15 of those years, everything that your ancestors knew I had to do, or our ancestors had to do, I had to do as well. So, you know, the only thing that I really knew was labor. And I just felt like coming home and getting my CDL after being released was my best option to not only maintain my freedom, but also move in a positive direction in my life.
And Switching Lanes with Wayne is fairly new. How long has this business been open?
So I created my LLC in October of 2024. I took the entrepreneurship program and I started it in May. And right off the bat, you know, I was given confidence that I could do this here. I was, you know, wanted to hear what they really had to say and wasn't as serious about me really pursuing that, being that I had stable employment, although I was teaching at a commercial driving school, but I've always did activism work since being home and just reaching back. You know, I have several friends in Angola that speak to me on a regular, and I just, you know, how nice it would be for them to come home and me teach them how to get their CDL.
Yeah. So one of the things that you mentioned when you were talking before about the business, you said that when you were in Angola, Angola really didn't set you up to be successful afterwards, to really educate yourself. And so you had to come out and make that shift on your own to pursue these opportunities and to find that confidence. How did you go about doing that?
My faith, you know, always being optimistic. You know, when I first came home, you know, I was turned away from job after job after job. And I knew that couldn't continue because I was going to go back to doing what I knew best. And I was convicted for armed robbery. And I knew I had to not only help feed or I have responsibilities that I had to, you know, take care and provide. And just the door slamming and someone just putting in my ear that, you know, getting your Class A CDL license, you know, once you get that, it is a Corey-friendly opportunity that, you know, you're not as stigmatized as much, you know. So I just thought that me doing that and then just me teaching inside the facilities that I do now teach in, you know, and I just seen so many brothers coming home, and I just thought, you know, what way with better ways to, you know, help them get on their feet as far as just providing the CDL training. And I turned it into a business.
You did. And you're within your first year of a business. Ma'am. How has that first year been for you?
I mean, it's been a struggle. I mean, you know, lucky for myself, you know, I don't have the overhead, nor do I need the startup money as most businesses do. But it was challenging, and just more so just getting the confidence or just being able to be in the same room with business owners. You know, I felt intimidated. So, you know, just, you know, the entrepreneurship program helped me build that confidence and understand that I can put this vision to life.
Yeah, no doubt, definitely struggles within the first year of building any business. But I think the important part that you're emphasizing is when you're a person that's formerly incarcerated, a lot of times people diminish the value of you because of the criminal record. And so being in these spaces, it can feel intimidating. But for you, the program you were involved in helped you build that confidence, helped you learn your value, and that you can also contribute in these spaces as well.
And I just even thought that since coming home, you know, I thought it was very important that I rebuild my character, that I earn the trust of not only my family, who held me accountable every step of my journey, but just even with society. You know, I can remember a time the second day I was home from after doing 18 years, walking inside of Walmart. And it was very traumatizing because as soon as I walked into the store, I felt like everybody was watching me. New cell phones are new to me. And I immediately did a bald face. And that stuck with me to where I had to really go get treatment and talk to a therapist and just, you know, kind of vent some things and just help me along my vision and my journey as I move forward.
Yeah, that's a big part of healing. You know, healing so you can rebuild your life. And like you said, and you can contribute to the lives of others that are involved in your life, whether that's family, friends, whatever that looks like for you. That's a really big piece of being a successful entrepreneur as well.
Yes, it is. And even just, you know, the different organizations that I've been involved with since coming home, especially over the past 5 years, I had been doing this work previously, especially after being employed at the driving school. So I offered to where I can help formerly incarcerated young men and women come home, and with them funding them, also allowed me to bring them into the school where I worked at. So, you know, just, you know, and more than anything, it's just the joy that I get out of seeing someone get to the finish line. That's the reason why I do this here. It's not about the monetary value of my work. It's about changing lives and just giving people hope and understanding that they can follow the same path. You know, I was on parole for 17 years, and every step of the way, they tried to send me back to prison. You know, so I had to fight or jump over that hurdle and also just maintain my responsibilities. You know, I think my most proudest feat since coming home, not only my sanity, but I really feel proud that my son is a sophomore in college and I've been with him every step of the way. So, you know, I'm trying to build something to a family business to where he can continue to run with this as well.
That's amazing. And I love to hear that. Can you tell us a little bit about the business? Is Switching Lanes with Wayne, is it just a driving business? I hear you talking about training and mentoring. What all services does Switching Lanes with Wayne offer?
Yeah, so it's not just a driving service. That's the main thing that I want to do is, and it's mainly, so what I'm doing now is the CDL prep. Unfortunately, the percentages are when Mass Hire or someone else fund people coming from our community, they struggle with the inception of coming into the school and just trying to not only fit in, but also retain the information, the important information that's needed to obtain a CDL. Massachusetts happened to be the third toughest state to get the CDL. And one of the reasons with it being is that a state trooper administered the test. So right now I've created something that is a CDL prep to where we do a 5-week program to where we come in once a week and just prepare the individuals on not only what to expect, but get their permit before they even walk into the doors, but also give them a good sense of what to expect when getting to school.
What outcomes have you seen since you started that program?
Oh, man, I speak with my students weekly and some of them, you know, almost every other day. And just, you know, them being able to find employment to where they're making $30 an hour. You know, I always, you know, try to push people into the sanitation division just because I'm really familiar with that. And, you know, right here in Boston, you know, they're paying to drive the garbage truck $35 an hour with great benefits and a pension. And, you know, that's one of the things that I really look forward to is collecting my pension. Not only I have a Social Security, but, you know, I put 15 years in the union. So, you know, I know it's still not much, but it's something that I can look forward with to help sustain my life going forward. And just seeing the outcome of, you know, people crossing that finish line and just how grateful and appreciative they are pays dividends. And it's just, and that's why I do it, because it changed lives. I had one guy in particular that I met him in Dedham House of Correction, and that's a facility here in Massachusetts. And well, when he took my class in Dedham, he told me that his 5-year-old daughter didn't trust him. And I said, don't trust you. Your 5-year-old daughter don't trust you. And he had got convicted of two firearm charges. And she had told him after coming up seeing him that she didn't know if he was going to come home and go right back because him carrying a gun or what. And I'm proud to say this brother participated in my program. He's now making about $34 an hour, stable employment, great benefits. And as a matter of fact, he just purchases, his father left him a home, but he had to pay off some things. And he was able to figure that part out.
The program really is about changing lives. And that's what you're doing for people that have similar experiences and offering them a second chance when sometimes they don't get that with traditional employment.
And even, you know, just, you know, and what I try to even make society see is that, you know, doing this here, we're making our community safer. You know, if we come home and give these young men and women the resources to change their lives, you know, how much safer our neighborhoods are going to be. So, you know, it's just a win-win for everybody. So not only, you know, I do the CDL prep training, but also do mentorship as I work with the National Council for Incarcerated, Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. I mentorship for Justice for Housing. Also bring their guys in to teach them the Peace Institute, Lewis Brown Peace Institute here in Boston, to where I seek funding to bring guys into where I work at, men and women, to obtain the CDL. And it's just, you know, the difference is just phenomenal. You know, I just really appreciate being able to contribute to their success as they move forward in their lives.
When you're talking to these guys or these young women, these young men about entrepreneurship, what's your pitch to, you know, selling into them that this is a way for you to be empowered and to be independent and, you know, transform your lives? How do you go about that conversation with them?
You know, and I always stress discipline. You know, I always stress that it's important that they come home with, you know, make sure they have the discipline to not only move their lives forward, but just understanding that if they can create their business, because the thing, I've met some of the most brilliant people while incarcerated. And just to let them know, if they translate that, what they do in prison to out here in society, you know, just how much farther along, not only they can be in life, but family members as well. So, you know, it's just a self-sustainable, you make your own hours. Although, you know, I work seem like 24/7. You know, I haven't been able to catch a break, but, you know, I do it from my heart. You know, I teach with passion, and as long as I have breath, I'm going to continue to push and move forward as I am.
Yeah, so entrepreneurship has offered you a lot as well.
Oh, it has. And like I said, I kind of took an unusual role because when I came home after obtaining my CDL, I did find employment right away. I found employment in a moving company to where I was driving cross country, even though I was on 17 years of parole, but I was making real good money. So not only I was able to afford good health insurance, but also seek the necessary tools that I needed to help me move forward after incarceration. Just living in such an abnormal environment. Just being able to go and talk to someone, having stable or good income and having good health insurance provided that for myself. And, you know, once again, so I'm a proud homeowner and, you know, I just feel like my work is never done and I feel like I just want to continue to build. And it just gives me a sense of power to help me keep pushing forward.
I think that's a great transition to one of the things I was going to ask you is, especially since you're in the first year of your business, what's the plan moving forward and how are you continuing to stay strong in building your business?
Good question. So the plan for myself is moving forward, especially being that I've learned how to teach. I drive a truck extremely well and my communication skills are good as well. And, you know, my goal moving forward is that one day have me a school to where I'm on a lot with a container, a nice big size container where I have a few trucks. And that's what I'm doing. I'm FMCSA certified. I've been approved through the federal agency to where I can do the classroom and theory training. And I'm putting things in place to where I can not only secure a lot, but also trust as well.
Yeah, so you're working to evolve and take this beyond just trucking and transporting to offering opportunities to other people that can come in and do the same thing. Maybe they can go into, you know, their own trucking business or sanitation and providing them with the space to be able to build their confidence and build their business at the same time.
You're exactly right. And even when I go inside the facilities, I try to convey to the young men that even if this is not your first option, the one good thing about this option here is that it's quarry friendly and you can build capital. You know, so if this is not in your future plans, you know, at least get this and put in your back pocket, especially when the funding is available. You know, not saying that it's easy to get the funding because it's not, but, you know, hopefully when you come home, we can get the funding for you to participate in this program.
Yeah, CDL license are so handy in a sense of, you know, the employment that can be available or the opportunity that you can just create for yourselves. Like you said, it may not be your first option, but it is an option that it doesn't require a lot of funding to go into as if you were to open a different type of a business. I don't know, maybe a t-shirt company and happen to buy all of the equipment for that. And if you are, you're needing money, it's a way to get to make money for sure.
Exactly right. And, you know, even, you know, and what it allowed me to do as I venture off into entrepreneurship, it allowed me to build a foundation just so I can move my vision forward. You know, once again, you know, I'm a homeowner. You know, my credit is good. My startup cost is not that great. So, you know, and I didn't took a lot of money out of my pocket thus far, but I just think it's not only well worth it, but I understand that it's going to pay off with continued patience and faith and just continue to be optimistic.
Yeah, I think those are some important things of being an entrepreneur too, because the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur, besides like all the logistics stuff that people have to do and administrative tasks that you have
to
do.
That's right, you're exactly right.
Is the waiting, the patience, the resilience you have to have when you get a no from that first funder or that first sale doesn't go right, and being able to bounce back
And I've experienced all that as well, just, you know, as I, you know, try to build switching lanes with Wayne. So, you know, after I fall down, I, you know, make sure I get back up and understand what I did wrong or what I need to do better to make this thing work. Because it's going to work. You know, it's no doubt in my mind it's going to work.
And I think that's where that confidence becomes important. So many times anybody can, when they get knocked down, it's really hard for them to get back up if they don't have that confidence. But knowing your value and what you bring to the space is really important. So when that first, if you want to call it failure, I don't think that's what it is, but when that first no comes, what do I need to do next? How do I need to pivot? Exactly. How do I need to readjust? Those are the way entrepreneurs are thinking about their businesses.
Yes, they are. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, and I just, you know, like I said, if this is not your first love, if this is what you don't want to do, the CDL training, like I said, it can just open so many other doors. You know, the one thing about obtaining your CDL, if you want to, like I say, work for someone, if you want to see the country and buy your own rig, you know, you can definitely do that while making some good money. You know, so many endorsements that can go with that. If you want to become an instructor, you know, after 2 years, you can become an instructor. And I just think that people coming, you know, I was able to communicate well while incarcerated. And I just think people coming home, we have that trait. And I just think that, you know, not only we need more instructors, I'm the only Black instructor or until recently at Parker Professional Driving School. So, you know, I love the way they treated me. I love the way they have allowed me to have my free will. As far as just bringing in students from out of our community that wouldn't normally have the opportunity to go. So, you know, hats off to them. And I just would love to see more Black instructors participate in this field.
Definitely more of us in those spaces. Because that will bring more of us to those spaces and make us feel more comfortable that this is an opportunity for us. Right. One of the things I wanted to say as you were talking to is the thing that I think I appreciate the most about entrepreneurship is the creativity and the different possibilities that you can have with being an entrepreneur. And I've heard it all just from you today of taking what we would simply think as a driving trucking business, the typical trucking business of transporting packages or transporting things to different places, making it more than just trucking. No, of training, consulting, mentoring. Entrepreneurship allows you to open up all these different avenues for yourself that traditional employment sometimes typically doesn't.
That's right. You're exactly right. You know, you're so true to that. You know, there's so many avenues to this here, the dispatching part of it. And they have a young lady in Texas that has become a multimillionaire just with the dispatch, and they don't even have a CDL just because the trucking industry is booming just like that. Everything moves through trucks, you know. So it's, like I say, it's not about just driving, you know. It's about, you know, the community, just the, like you say, the mentorship and just, you know, teaching people things that they didn't think was possible. You know, I taught a lawyer one time, and, you know, the CDL training is a condensed course. So you can have your CDL in an 8-week span of time. And the lawyer once told me, he said that this was the hardest thing I had to do, even taking my bar, because it was just such a condensed, you had to retain so much information. And, you know, it's tough for a lot of people to come in just being able to navigate everything that needs to be retained. And that's kind of why I come in, because I do give them confidence. I do give them hope. And I try to help them rebuild their character.
And that's what people need. That's really what people need, especially when they're coming from behind those walls.
Yes.
Where they're not instilling hope in there.
That's so right. I mean, I've heard guards tell me that this is my livelihood. So, yeah, I want to see you come back. You know, this is how I make my living. So, yeah, my doors are open, you know, and you know, recidivism is high, you know, the first few years, you know, and, you know, it's all about coming home, getting off to a good start, you know, and, you know, it's some resources with entrepreneurship, that's getting off to a good start. You know, it's, you know, I found that when you put the effort in, you know, people come to you, you know, you get blessings that you never thought that was possible. And that's kind of what's been happening with me. You know, doors are really opening, you know, once I start putting that effort in and, you know, I start progressing in a positive way.
As you become an entrepreneur, well, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to have initiative. You have to have effort. You have to have an entrepreneurial spirit, at mindset. Least.
Yes.
Or mindset to... And then that's how resources, opportunities, et cetera, that's how that comes to you. People will start looking for you because they see what you are doing and what you're putting in to get where you're trying to go.
Mm-hmm. You know how, you know, just, you know, a lot of times when I'm on platforms like this here, I kind of get emotional because just understanding where I come from. And I don't really look at the growth that until I have to take a step back and just look back how far I've come, mm-hmm. you know, and I, you know, I get teary-eyed, you know, when I not only think about that, but just understanding that they had put me down for the count. You know, I was in the gutter at one time, and to come home and to be able to excel and to be able to, for someone to, unless I told them of my incarceration, they would never know. And, you know, that's my greatest, I'm just so grateful to be able to walk in a room and people not say he's from prison or whatever, unless I tell them that.
Absolutely, yeah. So here's my question then. For people who may have similar stories as what you've shared here and what you're talking about and may want to go into entrepreneurship, what advice would you give to them?
My advice would be to be honest with yourself. You know, understand your boundaries, you know, understand your limitations, understand that everyone's not for you, you know, understand you're going to fall. You got to get back up and just remain positive. You got to be optimistic. You know, even when things are going bad, I do understand that if I keep pushing and striving, it's going to get better. So, you know, my advice would just, you know, humble yourself, rebuild your character. You know, have a word. You know, a guy sent me a text today, and it just really blew my mind. But he told me that he was one of the most, I was one of the most genuine persons that he's met. And that touched me in a way that, you know, that's how you need to live. You know, whatever you say you're going to do, you need to do it. You know, you need to hold yourself accountable and just move in a positive direction. You know, I get up and meditate every morning. And, you know, that gives me, that starts my day off right. You know, that gets me off to a good start. I get a good night's sleep, and I'm ready to embrace whatever comes my way because I know that whatever I'm doing the right thing. You know, I'm trying to change lives and I'm trying to make people's lives better, you know, and I'm trying to make our communities a lot safer. And I couldn't think of no other thing that I could be doing. And, you know, I knew I always wanted to do something to be able to give back. And, you know, after getting the experience, because when I first got my CDL, I was tearing stuff up. You know, I got my license 8 months after being released from prison. So I really didn't know how to drive a car. So due to my strong work ethic, even though I did have numerous accidents, people kept giving me opportunity because they seen my genuineness. You know, they seen that, you know, it was an accident. You know, it seemed that, you know, I was in control of me moving forward in my life. So, you know, it's all about, you know, rebuilding your character, doing what you say you're going to do. And when you fall, get back up.
Putting in the work to do those things.
Putting in the work. And it's tough work.
It is. It's
tough. You know, it's tough work. You know, like I say, my son's a sophomore. He's taking business in college, and I'm hoping that he can continue to grow this to where it can be, you know, generations on up that, you know, you know, my great, great, great grandson can look back and, you know, see that I left a mark, you know.
Absolutely. What's one key lesson that you've learned throughout your journey that you'd also like to share with aspiring entrepreneurs?
Stay true to your word. You know, the bottom line is, you know, do what you say you're going to do. If you can't do it, just make sure you let that person know. And people, you know, people understand, you know, and just, you know, write down your goals, you know, write down your aspirations, just, you know, the thing that you visualize while in prison, come out and put this stuff to work, because we have some great ideas coming home. You know, we just get bogged down and, you know, I suggest get off to a good start. You know, come home, just like you, the discipline you had to come home, you got to maintain that discipline out here. You know, when I came home, I don't have many friends. You know, I don't socialize much. I don't go out and party or hang out. You know, I have these blinders on, and that's the focus that I present on a daily basis. You know, I want to leave behind a legacy. You know, I want to let people know that I put my every ounce of effort into moving forward and helping our communities.
Yeah, I heard a guy, he said, you know, the same way he moved when he was in prison, you know, disciplined, staying out of the way, you know, not trying to get in any trouble and do what he needed to do to get out of here. That's the same way he has to move when he comes outside of those walls and he's living out here. I do what I need to do to make my living, to run my business, stay out of the way. It's you got to do what you got to do to support you.
And that's my mindset. You know, the same way, and, you know, my wife even sometimes say, you know, why do you still do that? You know, because that keeps me or understanding where I come from, you know, because I just feel that the time, the moment I forget where I come from or how tough it was for me to have to pick cotton from sun up to sun up, sun down, I'll be right back to where I was. So, you know, I keep that in the forefront. And I, you know, I love sharing that with others in hopes that, you know, they can, you know, not have to deal with what I had to deal with in life.
Yeah. So if you are wanting to build a business, or maybe you have an idea and you just don't know how to execute it, start writing your ideas down, start building a plan, start working towards putting your vision in reality.
That's right. You're exactly right. You know, I wrote a journal while in prison, and coming home, I continue to write a journal. You know, I write goals. I create a vision board. I kind of busy, so I don't do as much reading as I need to do. But, you know, and I just try to stay engaged. You know, I try to stay engaged with what my people need, and just try to help them navigate this cruel system. Mm-hmm. And hopefully can live a better life than they lived in incarceration.
Yes, and live a life as an entrepreneur if you'd like.
Live a life as an entrepreneur. You know, once again, I just can't thank First Step Alliance. You know, so walking into the class after presenting on to what I wanted to create, the first day they told me, man, you're gonna get there. Mm-hmm. You know, you came up here and told us, you know, it's a vibe. You know, we'll see how we can get this to the finish line. And thus far, you know, they assigned me a mentor, and you know, he's been working with me, and I couldn't be more grateful. You know, just surround yourself with positive people that's moving in the same direction you are, you know.
That's a really important part. It's like-minded people.
People
who are, maybe they're not pursuing the same career or industry or route of entrepreneurship, but they're pursuing entrepreneurship. They have that entrepreneurial spirit, that drive, that passion. Surround yourself with those people, because that's going to keep you in line.
Yes, ma'am.
It'll keep you accountable.
It truly is. And, you know, so even coming up to Boston, you know, I really felt intimidated. And the reason with that being is that, you know, a lot of the prison systems up here, they do educate or they do prepare people from life after prison. And, you know, while in Angola, you know, not only I had to fight for my manhood on a daily basis, not literally, but just, you know, just the type of environment it was. You know, and pick cotton all my prison life, and then to come up here and not really knowing many people up here, that was quite challenging. But once again, I kept pushing forward. I kept surrounding myself with the necessary people that was going to help me push my agenda forward. And so far, so good. You know, I've been home close to 23 years now. And, you know, I never thought that I would be in this position as owning my business, as someone going on my website and seeing the great things or the wonderful things that we've been doing. I'm blessed to even have my daughter work with me. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to see where your business takes off in the next year, in the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
right.
I want you all to check out his business as well. So where can people find more information about your business or connect with you?
Yep. So I have my how to contact me on my website. I'm going switchinglaneswithwayne.com. And not only it shows the work that I've been doing and just trying to work the work that I'm trying to do moving forward. You know, once again, I always express to my students that I'm going to give it all I have. You know, I give you 110%. And in turn, I've been getting that same effort and I couldn't ask for nothing better. You know, I see guys coming home from incarceration. I see women coming home from incarceration, participating in my program, and just has just been moving forward ever since. So, you know, get somebody that's gonna, you know, help, you know, build that character, help you move forward in life. And, you know, like I said, I have some great things on my website, and that's still also a process that I'm still, as I move forward, continue to build. And, you know, once again, one day soon, I'm going to have my school with trucks and a lot and moving forward like that. But yeah, definitely go on switchinglaneswithwayne.com and see the amazing work that I'm doing.
Can people, if they're in the Boston area, get information about your program on your website as well?
Yes, ma'am. They get the information about my program. I have a contact number, email. Yes, they can definitely get all the necessary information to reach out to me. And if I'm in class, I definitely take that call and let you know that I'll get right back with you. Mm-hmm. And I'll direct you onto where to get that funding at, because it is funding out here. Hopefully it continues to be out here, you know, in this climate. I don't know, but in hopes it still remains to where people can get funding after incarceration to obtain the CDL.
Absolutely. So what I'll do is I'll make sure that I put it in the description box below. I'll put it in the description box below. So if people want to reach out or if they want to obtain more information, they can go directly to the show notes and it'll be in there and they can have access to it. Well, Mr. Wayne, I do appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us, talking about your business and the work that you're doing to also change lives of those that are formerly
don't have
incarcerated.
A business idea.
Before we wrap up here, I do want to ask, is there,
are 10 business ideas,
any message that you would want to leave
and
our
don't
audience
have to be the
with,
next $1 million business idea? One,
yes,
become an event planner.
Continue to be faithful.
Two, start a house painting business.
Hold that man above and
three,
in your most highest regard.
Become a grant writer.
Continue to put the
Four,
effort that's necessary
personal
to move
trainer.
Forward in your life.
Five,
put them blinders
become a
on.
Personal chef.
You know, ain't nobody going to give
Six,
you nothing out of it.
Start your
you
own know, trucking
you
or transportation
work, you
business.
You got to work hard And seven, we can definitely change the narrative.
Start a mobile car wash and detailing business.
Just kind of moving eight, forward.
And, start a commercial cleaning business.
That, once nine, again, when you fall,
use your skills to start a graphic design business.
Keep your dream alive. Keep your dreams alive.
Become a seamstress or a tailor.
Well, thank you for that.
These are
advice.
All ideas that
and
are still
thank
profitable
you all for listening.
In the business industry.
Like I said, Ms. Wayne,
and
truly
don't have
enjoyed
to
having you
the
on
next $1 million
oh, man,
to have this conversation.
So
I'm glad I could do that.
I was kind of, you made me feel right at home. And it seems like that I've talked to you in the past. You made me feel very comfortable, and I definitely appreciate that.
Thank you. And thank you all
and
for
when
listening.
When I get them trucks and when I get that container on my lot, I would love to come back and be a part of this here as well.
Absolutely. We definitely have to do a follow-up to see where you are in the next year and see how things are going. So I'm looking forward to it.
I would love that.
Well, thank you all for tuning in today, listening to this story of transformation and entrepreneurship. Make sure you continue to follow us over the next couple of weeks as we will continue to explore entrepreneurship and the stories of those who have been impacted by incarceration and started them a business. So thank you. This is More Life, the Reentry Podcast, signing off. Were you inspired by today's story? If so, find you a mentor, attend a networking event, or explore the tools and resources shared. Don't wait. Take action to connect with those who can help guide you on your entrepreneurial path. Thank you for listening to this episode on More Life, the Reentry Podcast. Be sure to come back next week to learn more. Before we end today, I want to give a huge thank you to the More Life, the Reentry Podcast team in helping with the development and production of this episode. Thank you. If you are interested in joining our team, please fill out the form in the description box. If you want to share your story, please fill out the form in the description box. We thank you for joining us and be sure to tune in next week.